Let's see what's happening around the great state of Maryland. MarylandIsOpen.com. Here we go. I'm your host, Meredith Marks, and today I'm talking with Megan Rich of Megan Rich Physical Therapy. Hey, Megan, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to have you on. Quick little background. I've been a patient of yours for a really long time. I've had several spine surgeries, and I have to say that from my own experience, I have been to several physical therapies since I was in my late teens. And since finding Megan Rich, I will never go anywhere else. It's become a family place. My daughter goes, and we love Megan Rich PT. So thank you so much for just doing all that you do.
Oh, thanks. I have incredible staff, and I know you've enjoyed having them take care of you and your daughter, and I am very thankful for them. They've made the practice the beyond ordinary place that we like to think of it as. So thanks for coming back.
Yeah, it's a unique, really special, wonderful physical therapy office, unlike you've ever experienced. They're located in Timonium, Maryland. And talk to me a little bit about how COVID affected your business.
Oh, wow. So, you know, initially, when it all became apparent that we needed to do something extraordinary to manage, you know, we had patients that were just not comfortable coming in. We didn't have clear information from our leaders about how to manage. And then there was a fair amount of patients who needed to come in because they'd had surgery. They had to take care of their physical needs in order to function. So, We continued to participate as much as we could. Our therapists then, you know, as it became more and more apparent that this was life and death choices, the therapists wanted to stay at home as well as patients. And it was like a dwindling down. And we knew we weren't going to be able to stay like that for long. And while we were deciding on, you know, who was going to come in and who wasn't, the governor made the decision to lock down. And Brian and I felt, Brian is my husband, he's the managing co-director and takes care of administrative, front desk, operations, et cetera. So we, you know, thought that we would better serve the community by not interacting with them until we had more information about safe practice. So even though we were considered essential, we just didn't know what we needed to do. So once we stayed at home, we hunkered down. I only had one patient that needed to come in. She was a patient of mine, and she came in. There was no one else coming in, no staff or no other patients. Most of our patients were being managed by telehealth at that point. You know, the governor, there were decisions made that we could do things through telehealth and even FaceTime and Zoom. There were no HIPAA violations that, you know, they were going to let those sort of go because we needed to figure out how to do it and take care of people. So we did a lot through that. And then we had Zoom for clients that wanted to continue with their personal training and also exercise classes. So while we were sitting at home, we had been planning a renovation, and our landlord had some renovation money for us. And we thought, oh, well, you know, that's not going to happen because everybody's going to hold on tight to their wallets. And instead, I said to Brian, what's it going to hurt? This would be a perfect time to do it. Maybe he'll still, you know, support that. And sure enough, he did. So we were able to start renovations. The girls and I and Brian did painting, painted the whole 5,500 square feet. And it was, you know, there were contractors moving things and changing walls and updating. So we had to be COVID friendly.
Right.
How much do you want to know about what that looks like? it was a lot.
I can imagine.
Yes. We had to protect our staff, our patients, figure out spacing, procedures. You know, you just couldn't walk in anymore willy nilly and start. So, what did we do? We enlarged our waiting area and made it sort of a stopgap rather than a sitting and waiting. In that waiting area, it was an opportunity first for the patient. They had to wash their hands, and we had to ask questions about their COVID safety, their risks, that they had been exposed or maybe they had symptoms. They weren't even allowed to walk in the door if they had symptoms. It was posted on the front door. Please wear a mask. And if you have a cough, a fever, and shortness of breath, don't come in. Call us from your car. And once they were in, we had the therapist immediately take their temperature and their oxygen saturation and then ask the COVID questions as whether or not we were going to let them come in. And we, you know, taught them about things they had to do. A lot of people didn't really understand. They didn't understand how to wear a mask, which ones were safe, not to touch their masks. If they did, they had to wash their hands again, not to put personal items on anything, but in a bag on the floor. And then, you know, we cleaned everything they touched immediately. And we asked them if they touched something to clean up after themselves. So we have disinfectant everywhere and wipes everywhere in every single room. We took out all of our reading material in our lobby. We increased wellness supplies so that patients could order things so that they could do things at home through telehealth. We had hand sanitizer everywhere, and we changed our lights so that you could walk in a room and not have to touch a light switch. So minimal touch. Doors were left open. We didn't want people touching doorknobs, just minimizing everything we could.
You should make mention that this is a very unique facility where you are not just land, you are water. So you do aquatherapy as well. So talk about having a pool and what that looks like during COVID.
Right. So, you know, the pool, the disinfectant in the pool is awesome. The water, pool water is great. You're being in a closed space. Now, the pool is the only area in our office that has negative air filtration. So that's a good thing. That's what you want. But you don't want somebody huffing and puffing in a moist area and exercising at high capacity. So all our exercise classes were shut down. We usually have 10 people in a class, and that's the amount of space that we like to work in. And then we minimized so that patients would, there'd only be four at a time in the pool, and they could very safely be in there, and they wouldn't be doing aerobic things. So it's very low key. The pool is definitely part of rehabilitation. So they're not normally exercising for fitness and that kind of thing. Those were the classes that were shut down. But they, you know, the pool is going to probably be the hardest place for us to continue classes at a large number. It'll only ever be five people in a class now, which, you know, it means we're either going to have more classes or just wait until we can figure out how to be safer. They have to wear a mask. I mean, I know in some health and fitness centers, they weren't wearing masks to exercise, which just like you have to have a mask on at all times. Yes. And I made masks for people who didn't have efficient or effective masks. I made cloth ones that had a filter space to go in them. Mm-hmm. So we were always trying to protect. You know,
well, let's talk about that for a second, because you had a really tough time securing some PPE. And so I actually put you in touch with somebody. But talk about the experience of being able, how frustrating that must have been to be essential workers and not being able to get the proper PPE.
Oh, my God. It was OK. So we had Clorox wipes that we've always used to wipe up after patients and on equipment. That was not a new thing for us. However, this idea of spraying regularly and after and everything, wiping everything down after every single touch of a patient, that took a lot more. And of course, the Clorox wipes were the first thing that went, and that's what we used. Then we had to substitute and find out through the EPA what the least dwell time was that we could spray as a disinfectant. And we had a hard time finding that. I mean, I had access to Walmart and Target and the grocery stores, and there was nothing. So, you know, Clorox became really important initially, and then that was gone. And you don't want to keep using Clorox on leather equipment, on our reformers and Pilates equipment, and things
right.
that have to preserve those materials. Then we only had surgical masks. We could not get our hands on any KN95s or N95s. We were working on ordering those, and like the backlog was just ridiculous. I ended up finding some KN95s in Ace Hardware of all the places. God knows, it just happened to be there at the right time because it wasn't, it was like, you know, one day they were there and one day they weren't.
Right.
So we had some of those, but you have to change those regularly. They don't last for months and months. They're disposable. And we don't have the facility to do ultraviolet light cleaning. You know, when they're wearing them in the hospitals, N95s are fitted, and we didn't have access to the equipment that fits them properly. So they have to be cleaned. And basically you get about 4 exposures, 4 days, and then you're done. And we kept looking for the CDC requirements and how to clean them, and we couldn't get equipment or, you know, so you're going through them like lightning. For 9 PTs, it was a lot. Finally, you put us in touch with a company that supplied us with some. It was hard to find. It was a godsend, and they came through, and we were able to initiate. That was like the first lot that we had to bring everybody back. And then we had a local company who worked with fixing musical equipment, changed their business model, and they started to make flexible shields, and they donated them to us. They gave us 40 shields, which were awesome because we're up in close and personal in people's faces when we're treating necks. And, you know, there's a lot of close contact with shoulders and arms and things like that. Even feet. I mean, you're not 6 feet away when you're working on somebody's foot. So we were thankful for that. And then we, you know, had to go through the motions of gowns. Everybody wanted gowns initially because they didn't want to have their clothes exposed and go home and, you know, give it to their kids when they hugged them first thing in the doorway. But I couldn't get gowns. I had to go to a sewing company. It was a seamstress up in Moncton, and see if she could make them fast enough for us. And I ended up being able to find a couple that could be sent to me as like a demonstration. And I got a hold of them. And then my staff by then decided that they were just going to not wear them, and they'd be stripping their clothes down in the garage and going in. You know, it was just a different way of doing things. They have ended up not using the gowns at all, but you know, it's a mixed bag. We had to satisfy everybody's needs in how to look through the research, what was being suggested, and it was changing regularly. So now, even now, we're looking at that next phase and what can we do differently. We usually check patients in the front for temperature and oxygen saturation. And, you know, I've got people who come 3 times a week. They know how to do that. They could sign themselves in. That's what the PTs do in the back. We sign ourselves in, take our oxygen and our temperature and make sure we're good and we haven't been exposed. And they could come right in, and that will minimize their waiting time at the front. And we'd spread everything out. And, you know, that was a good thing that the renovation allowed us to do, is just reusing space and opening things up. That's been very interesting. Trying to work with each other and plan our treatment so that we're not ending up in the same piece of equipment at the same time, and we can remain very distanced between all the movement studios and the gyms and the pool. And there are 4 treatment areas that we've been able to, you know, let PTs use. One of the things I think that was so important for the PTs is that they all have their own treatment cart now, where they only touch their treatment tools and their treatment lotions, and they don't have to share them with each other. So we up the ante for them, and they all have their own computer and their own computer shield. So they never, ever share anything between them, except the equipment, of course. So they felt really good about that. Like, they have their own little station and nobody touches it. That way they didn't have to clean things 1,000 times a day.
Right. I noticed that when I brought my daughter in, I noticed that everything was really you know, kept per therapist, and you have different areas to put patients, and nobody was on top of each other, and it was really nice. And I even noticed, because you have a thin hallway, I even paid attention and noticed that when one person was coming down the hallway and another person started, they would wait and let that person come down the hallway, and then they would proceed so that nobody was being too close in the hallway.
I don't know if you saw the signs, but there are signs posted on the wall right as you enter the hallway, only one person at a time.
Yes.
So when patients come in, we're trying to educate them about, you know, please don't expose yourself in the public and do at-risk behaviors outside of PT when you're coming here, at least for the time that you need treatment, because we have so many compromised ALS patients and patients who have other comorbidities, and they're coming in post cancer treatment and chemo, and they aren't just a sprained ankle or a knee. A lot of these people have really serious things that they're trying to deal with and function. So we plead and beg, be on your best behavior, and then instruct them on what that means for themselves, even just how to wear their masks and not touch it and constantly be then touching their face and then touching other things. So, you know, they should be washing their hands every time you touch your face, wash your hands. And
yes,
they didn't even think about that before coming
right
in, you know.
It's important. You have to do that. I'm talking to Megan Rich, meganrichpt.com, 9492 Deerco Road in Timonium, 410-308-7182. Megan, thank you so much for coming on the show. If you want amazing physical therapy, check them out. Again, meganrichpt.com. I appreciate having you on here.
Oh, thanks so much. Can I just add one thing that,
yes,
that might be helpful for people who are creating home offices and they have their kids at home doing schoolwork? We're doing a lot of ergonometric assessments because we're seeing so many head, neck, back issues from changed behaviors. So if you need something, how to set up your home office, we'll send somebody out who will do it through telehealth, through Zoom. We'll check out how your kids are operating, and you know, they shouldn't be in bed doing it. They should have a setup just like an office. How to take break times, what exercises to do, what a personal gym would look like at home. And then we have videos and ongoing education about what to be doing at home for yourself.
See, I told you they're amazing. MeganRichPT.com, 410-308-7182. Megan, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. I hope this goes well for all those other people who are trying to open up and be safe.
Absolutely. That's all we can hope for.
Yep. Thanks, Meredith.
Thanks for tuning in to MarylandIsOpen.com. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And don't forget to add your listing to MarylandIsOpen.com. We want to provide the public information on what is happening at your business so that we can support each other as things change with our state. For MarylandIsOpen.com, I'm Meredith Marks.